The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told the disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge said. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
And will not God quickly grant justice? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of you know that I now have two puppies. This is the first time in two decades that I've had puppies, and I'm on a very steep learning curve, however. Fortunately, I have very persistent teachers. I am learning that yip means I need to go out, and yip yip means now. And a yip, yip, yip means I am not going back to sleep. And yip, 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 yip means you better hurry. And yip, 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 yip means too late, but I'm not sleeping in this mess either. So when I think about persistence and this exhortation we hear in the gospel to persistence, I'm wondering, are we supposed to be yipping at God? Is that what Jesus is saying? That, you know, we yip, 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 and then finally God listens and grants the justice. And I've certainly heard that preached. And I've also sometimes felt that, you know, like I'm just not doing enough. And here's the dark side of that. When it doesn't come, it's somehow your fault. You didn't do enough. You didn't pray hard enough. How many have been in that place? That is not what Jesus is saying here. I do not believe that's what Jesus is saying here. I want to talk about how God quickly grants divine justice, but I want to say that we've got two parts here, and then we've got a center. And the parts on the outside talk about prayer, and the part in the middle talks about justice. So we have a panini. You know, last week Chris talked about a pizza. We got a panini. This is all brought to you by the letter P. But I want to talk about the middle first. So hold this question about the rapidness of divine justice over here. So Jesus tells this parable. We have a widow who comes seeking justice. She comes to the judge who fears neither God nor has respect for people. Now, the first thing, this opening is letting us know there's a problem, because widows in Hebrew society had people who represented them: sons, cousins, brothers, fathers, somebody else. They were literally, I mean, the word in Hebrew for widow is the one who has no voice. So the fact that she's coming means something's out of kilter. We don't know what it is. But God's set up the structure of the Hebrew society to protect the voiceless ones, widows and orphans and immigrants and those who were very poor. Those are the ones, that's kind of the quartet of the people who do not have a voice and who have a special place in the legal structure of Hebrew society and in God's heart, the Psalms tell us. So the widow is now coming seeking justice. And she doesn't have a name. You know, Emily Badgett a few weeks ago talked about the importance of a name. She doesn't have a name. She doesn't have a title. The judge has got a title. He's got a position. She doesn't have a name, and she doesn't have a voice. And actually, we don't hear anything that she says. Kind of makes sense. No name, no voice. But we do hear the internal thinking of the judge. And in fact, Jesus tells us to listen to the internal thinking of the judge, which is a little strange because he's certainly not an exemplary character. But there's something that Jesus wants us to learn from the internal thinking of the judge. And what does he say? Even though I do not fear God or have regard for people, this woman is bothering me, and I'm going to give her what she asks because she's going to wear me out. Now, the idiom is she's going to give me a black eye, and I don't think it's because she's going to punch him, but it means that she is going to ruin my reputation because I'm a judge, right? What do judges do? They grant justice. And here's this woman with no voice who somebody apparently is listening to because it's starting to make him nervous. And so she's going to wear me out. I don't know. My grandmother used to talk about wearing somebody out. But anyway, so he grants her justice. This woman with no power, no name, no place, no legal status, no voice, gets the justice that she seeks. And Jesus points at that. And I think he does it because he's talking about injustice. Now, people are pretty familiar with injustice, and Scripture has been asking a lot of questions. God, how come you make it rain on the just and the unjust? You know, a whole book of Job is an exploration of why do bad things happen to good people. And this question of justice and justice making is central to Jesus' ministry. And he is telling the disciples it's going to be central to their life and work as well, because he's preparing them for his departure. And he's talking about the end times. And instead of saying, hey, sit tight, be cool, I will come back and put everything right, he tells this story about how you get justice, how you hang in over the long term, and you continue even from the position of having no voice to continue to come before those who have the ability to make change, and change will happen. But that is exhausting. Talk about getting worn out. So now that we have the center, I want to talk about the outside. Jesus begins by saying, the writer says, Jesus told this parable about the importance of praying always and not losing hope. So obviously there's a point. Sometimes you do come to that place where you're kind of losing hope. You've been working and working and working and nothing is changing. And then on the other side, we hear this, will not God swiftly grant justice? You're kind of like, how do these two go together? Well, Jesus is talking about divine justice. And if you look at what divine justice means, it doesn't mean that the people who are unjust don't get rain. It means that God continues to come whether or not we deserve it. And if we really want to find the central core example of divine justice, that's the cross. And we have a pouring out of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So Jesus is saying that when you ask, God responds. I love this quote from Martin Luther. In the 16th century, he writes, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is not the yip, yip, yipping, right? Prayer is laying hold of God's willingness. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. Prayer is laying hold of, grabbing onto, sometimes with everything that you've got, God's willingness, God's will that this world will be different. And that's what we see in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And that's the speed. That comes quickly. Justice making, that takes time. But prayer is at the core. Prayer is at the core of the transforming work as we come into relationship with God who created everything. And we begin to see with God's eyes. Well, then we begin to recognize injustice. And our hearts are it presses. It can't stay. It must change. And prayer helps us sort out the priorities, and prayer also sustains us in the effort. I want to talk about All Saints and justice making. Just a few examples. Over 30 years ago, people here at this congregation and at Central and First Presbyterian became concerned about elderly people not being able to afford to have a place to live. And so they constructed Westbury, and then they constructed Westbury West. And widows, mostly, are the folks who are living. Those who didn't have a voice now had a place to live. And that continues on, and Al Benshoff would be happy. He's the president of the board right now. He'd be happy to talk to you about what happens at Westbury. More recently, people became concerned about children living in poverty and their outcomes when they start into school if they aren't ready. And so out of that, we had two things. We put our money where our mouth was, and we started the Lockhart Center. But we also started something called the Early Childhood Foundation of Cabarrus County, looking way beyond what we're doing here. And when Head Start started to fall apart here, those are the folks. I'm looking at Debbie Llewellyn because she wrote the first letter. And they would not be denied. And they started writing, and they kept writing, and they kept falling, and they kept talking. And I've been to a lot of meetings, but I haven't been to as many as all of them. They went all the way to Washington. And it took 18 months, but Head Start is on track in Cabarrus County again, and it's because of their work. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We hear a lot about domestic violence every May when Joe Hunter and a group of men come and talk to us and hit us with some pretty hard-hitting stuff and ask for people to stand up and put their name to speak their truth on behalf of those whose voice has been taken from them. And I was looking at that list with some people a couple weeks ago. Almost 10% of that list, it's over 700 names, almost 10% comes from All Saints. And we have our own, we have our own Lorax here. If you remember your Dr. Seuss, that's a person who speaks for the trees. Mark Robinson is speaking on behalf of the 36 million trees that get cut down in our cities every year. And next week, over 200 trees are going to be given away for people to plant, native trees to plant, to start replacing and to build up the urban canopy again. And there are people who are coming together around children, but around the lack of affordable childcare in this community. People who have been given a job, but they can't take it because they can't afford to put their kids in childcare. And how are we going to respond to that? I could go on. More could be said. More needs to be said. But I'm going to stop here because it all comes out of prayer. See, I think that Jesus tells that story because justice and justice making is important work, but it's exhausting. And it has to be enveloped in prayer in order to persist over the long period. Now, some of you I know are in the place of the widow, and you feel like your voice has been taken from you. And I want you to hear this today, the call to persist in prayer and not lose heart. And our call to be the voice of those who don't have a voice. some of us, and probably all of us, been in the place of the judge, ignoring the injustice that we see. And we need to pray for God to open our hearts and our eyes and our minds to respond and grant the justice, to make the justice, to do the justice that's capable within our sphere. And all of us who call upon the name of Christ have this divine justice that's been granted to us. Access to all the power of the universe. We stay in prayer, and that transforms, and change happens. Maybe not on the pace we want to see it. But the question, the only question that Jesus asked was not, are you going to get it fixed? Will you have it done? But when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? Will he find the people of God about the work of doing and making justice on behalf of those who have no voice?